Our Father, we bow before you and we want to be still before you. Lord, you are an awesome God and you are present here among us. Father, therefore, Father, your holy presence is in this place. And Father, we thank you that where you come and you make your presence felt, it's an amazingly kind and amazingly delightful presence, Lord. At the same time, it's also fearful because you are so holy. You can look into each one of our hearts, Lord. You know what we are like. You know what we struggle with. You know what we think, what we shouldn't think. Father, all these things are very, very plain and clear to you. Lord, there's nothing that escapes your sight and your knowledge. And yet, Lord, you will come and you will presence yourself among your people. You have sent your Son as evidence of that. And Father, we can truly behold your glory. And we pray that this morning as we listen to your word, that your word will come to us not just in word only, but by the Holy Spirit and with much conviction. Father, we pray your blessing on your people. May every single person here this morning be blessed as a result of having met with you. Father, our precious children, may they enter into your joy and may they experience you talking to them and taking an interest in them and loving them. For our parents, Lord, equally, and for everyone else, we pray, bless them. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So Paul's letter to the Colossians has been teaching us to submit to Christ in everything and to rely on him for everything, in every relationship, in every area of our lives. We should submit to him and we should rely on him. And that starts with a home. It starts with the most basic place of where Christianity is to be lived out. It's in the place that we live and among the people we live, our family. This should not be surprising to us because family is one of the most fundamental and basic building blocks of society, which God instituted. You tamper with and you ruin family and you ruin society. Children, which relationship is the first relationship within the family? Think about that. It's the relationship between mom and dad. That's right. It's how husband and wife relate to one another and treat one another. And what's the first human relationship that can either strengthen or ruin the family? Marriage. Ruin marriage and you ruin family. Drive a wedge in between the husband and the wife and you rip the family apart. That is why God hates divorce. How the husband and wife relate to one another will either prevent this or cause this. How should they relate to one another to prevent this? Can you remember what we've learned last time when we looked at Colossians chapter 3, verse 18 and 19? Listen, wives, submit to your husbands, as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh to them. Wives are to submit to their husbands. That means that they are to place themselves under the authority of their husbands as God has ordained since creation. They are to do so willingly, as is the fitting thing to do for every Christian woman or wife who is in union with Christ and who lives under his lordship. Now, submission in this sense isn't inferiority. It's not weakness. It's to come alongside the husband with strength, with dignity, and with honor to be his companion and helper. It works beautifully. It works beautifully, especially when it is coupled with what God calls the husband to do. What does God call the husband to do? Husbands, love your wives. This isn't a fake or a fantasy love which takes from the wife and ruins the wife. It's real, Christ-like love which gives sacrificially, selflessly, and unconditionally to provide for her and to protect her for the rest of her life. Everything the husband does and says should be an expression of this love. God expressly forbids husbands to be harsh with their wives. Rather, they should be gentlemen who listen to their wives, who are attentive to their wives' needs, and who are getting involved in the needs of the wife and the family. Now, let me ask you, how will it go, not just in the marriage, but in the family where the wife submits to a husband and the husband loves his wife as they do so in a relationship with Christ and under Christ's lordship? How will it go? There will be love, peace, harmony, and wholeness in the home. And that's exactly the environment in which to bring up children. Would you agree with that? When it goes well between mom and dad, the children are at ease. They feel stable and secure when dad loves mom and mom respects dad. Is that right? But when there's conflict and disunity in the marriage, the kids sense it straight away. And they can feel it, and it makes them feel unstable and unsure. When the parents constantly fight, and when there's conflict and a battle, guess who gets hit in the crossfire? The children. All this may affect them more than we may realize. One thing is sure, this makes parenting hard. So happy and healthy families start with happy and healthy marriages. Let's turn now to our text for today. Colossians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. Follow as I read those two verses. Colossians 3, verse 20 and 21. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Here we have the parent-child relationship in two simple verses and two simple reciprocating instructions, just as we had the husband and the wife. As was the case between the husband and the wife, so it is with the parent and the child, and God starts with the one who's in the submissive relationship. God starts with the children. Now, as it was back then, this is just a snippet of the riches and the wisdom of God's instruction and teaching about how children and parents are to relate to one another. So, how are children to relate to their parents? What does Colossians chapter 3, verse 20 say? Obey your parents. Now, the word for obey means to pay attention to what your parents tell you and then go do it. To obey your parents involves hearing, understanding, learning, and doing. Kids, you know what we're talking about, don't you? When your parents say to you, listen, what do you do? You stop what you're doing. You give them your undivided attention. You concentrate on what they're saying to you. And you make sure that you understand them correctly. And then you carry out their instructions willingly, all the way, and without delay. Is that right? Of course it is. It's no good to just keep quiet so that your parents can stop speaking, and then you ignore what they say and do what you want anyway. That's not listening. That's defying. That's disobeying. And do you know what? It's dishonoring your parents. Do you know where the command comes from? This command to obey your parents? It comes from the Ten Commandments. And when we look at the parallel passage in Ephesians chapter 6, we see Paul makes it very clear. Listen to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 to 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, for it's the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. In Ephesians chapter 6, Paul is quoting the fifth of the Ten Commandments, which is there in Exodus 20, verse 12. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 20, he's referring to the fifth commandment. Now, here's the thing about the fifth commandment. Like any one of the other commandments in the Ten Commandments, it represents a whole lot more than first meets the eye. Each of those commandments is like a little seed that's planted, and then it grows into a big tree in the Bible, which starts to bear fruit in Christ. It blossoms in Christ. For example, to honor our parents, that includes not just obeying them when we are young, but loving them and caring for them when they become old. This is what Jesus took the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the scribes and the Pharisees to task about there in Mark chapter 7. Now, when kids learn to honor their parents through love, respect, and obedience, do you know what? They learn to honor authority, seniority. In other words, people who are older and wiser than us, and above all, to honor God. If children do not obey their parents, they certainly do not honor God. That's how it works. For children to obey their parents is an absolute and abiding principle. There's no question about that. And to make that clear, Paul adds in Colossians 3, verse 20, in everything. As long as children are under the provision and the protection of their parents, they are to be obedient to their parents in all that their parents instruct them and guide them. Now you may ask, does this include absolutely everything? Are there no exceptions? For example, should children obey their parents even when their parents ask them to do something that will be sinning against God? Should children obey their parents even when their parents are abusing them? The same question applies to wives that are submitting to their husbands. What if their husbands cause them to sin? What if their husbands abuse them? Should they still submit? Where do we draw the line? Now, this is obviously very sensitive and very serious. We can't take any form of abuse lightly, can we? Especially when vulnerable women and children are being abused. By the way, men can also be abused. But in this case, it can be very complicated. And a lot of prayer and wisdom needs to go into this to understand what is the right thing to do. And not every case is the same. So it's not simple. And the best thing we can do is just make a few general comments. Let me just make a few general comments on that issue. Obviously, both of these things are harmful, and they need to be avoided or put to an end. But what's the first step? What's the first step? Whenever you realize that someone requires you to do something that is sinful, or when someone is abusing you, the first thing you need to do is pray. And then ask the person to stop, even if that person might be your parent. But what if that won't work? What if that won't work? Then, if it's your one parent that abuses you, you tell your other parent straight away. If it's both parents who are abusing you, then you go and you ask an adult that you trust to help. Straight away. And if you don't know who that is, then you come and you tell the elders of the church. Secondly, if you know about somebody else who is being abused, do you know what you do? You go and tell someone that's responsible straight away. Someone that can help straight away, as soon as possible. Now, obviously, there's far more that can be said in the area of abuse, and that's not our focus on this sermon. I just wanted to flag that. And thankfully, this is very rare. Even though it's very serious, it's very rare. Most parents are loving parents, and they want the best for their children. That's very important to know. But back to the command for children to obey their parents. Why should they do it? Why should children obey their parents? Because it's the right thing to do. Now, to encourage children to do this, Colossians 3 verse 20 says, "For it pleases the Lord." It pleases the Lord. Children, do you realize that being part of the community of God's people who live under the lordship of Christ, you have a responsibility? Did you realize that? God is giving you a responsibility. And that responsibility is to obey your parents and to show them respect. And not just them, but all the older people and especially the elderly. Be mindful of them. Be kind to them. Give them the recognition that they deserve. And do you realize that when you take this responsibility seriously, you are not just pleasing your parents, you are pleasing the Lord? Did you realize that you are able to please the Lord? In His eyes, it is well done. You could say, the Lord is proud of you. The Lord is proud of you. Is that motivation or what? For honoring our parents. Of course it is. And God blesses children who honor their parents. You'll be blessed. Let's be practical. Children, how can you honor and obey your parents in a way that pleases the Lord? Again, there's so many things we can say, but I'm going to suggest three things to you. Firstly, don't make light of your parents. God has given you the parents that He has. Respect them. I know that they are not perfect. None of us have perfect human parents. But God has given them to you to care for you. Life will be a whole lot harder when you have no parents who are there for you. And so the first thing you can do is thank the Lord for your parents and pray for them. Pray that your parents will do a good job with you. Secondly, make the most of your relationship with your parents. They know far more about life than you do. And then all your friends, and possibly all your friends put together. So cash in on what they can teach you. Ask them their opinions and their advice on the things that you face. When they ask you, how are you doing? Don't say, good. Tell them how you're really doing. And you will learn something from your parents. And you know what? You're going to strengthen your bond with your parents. Now, here are two very specific things that wise kids do. Are you interested in what wise kids do? Let me tell you these two things. Wise kids, whenever they hear new stuff about life or what happens in the world or about the birds and the bees or about the latest craze, they go tell their parents. There will be things that you will hear at school from other kids, and especially the Medianites. Do you know who the Medianites are? The media. And there are things you're going to hear from there that are way off. They are simply not true. Tell your parents so that they can help you to think about those things in the right way. The second thing that wise kids do is a little bit harder. This is just for the brave kids. So let me tell you what this one is. Here it is. Whenever something happens to, they've been exposed to something, or they have done something that isn't right. Do you know what wise kids do? They go tell their parents even when they will get in trouble for it. Did you know that? Even when they get in trouble for it. Let me assure you, it's the right thing to do. It will turn out a whole lot worse when you start to live a life when things happen to you, you've done the wrong thing, and you keep it and hide it from your parents. Why? Your parents are there to protect you. Your parents are there to guide you. They love you more than you realize. They might get angry, but they will cool down. They will cool down. And it's going to be a whole lot better. And I can tell this with confidence, because that's how God works with us. When we try to hide things from God that we've done wrong, guess what happens? We go down the drain really quickly. Thirdly, now this one might sound a bit strange. Kids, how can you honor your parents? This, forgive them. Forgive your parents when they have hurt you and offended you. Forgive them as Christ forgives you. Your parents get things wrong sometimes. They do. You know that. And if they get something wrong, then perhaps God wants you to learn how to go and tell your parent so that they can apologize to you. This can be a very powerful thing in your relationship with your parents. The other day, one of my daughters came to me and said, Dad, when you said that, you hurt me. Do you know what that does to a dad? It melted my heart. It really did. I apologized straight away, and I told my daughter how proud I was of her having the courage to come and tell me this. So here are three things that kids can do to honor their parents. Number one, appreciate your parents and pray for them. Number two, learn from them and tell them about what happens in your life. And number three, practice forgiveness towards your parents. So, children, obey your parents in everything, for it pleases the Lord. This is how children are to relate to their parents. So how are parents to relate to their children? Look with me at verse 21. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Don't you find this an interesting and perhaps a surprising instruction? It seems like something is missing, doesn't it? Verse 20 says, children, obey your parents. And then verse 21 says, fathers, do not provoke your children. What about the mothers? What happened to them? Why are they not in verse 21? I think there are three reasons for this. Let me suggest the first reasons. Fathers are the heads of the families and the leaders of the marriage. Therefore, they have the ultimate authority and responsibility over the family, which includes the children. And because of this, the way that the fathers either carry out their duty or fail to carry out their duty will have the biggest impact on the children, for good or for bad. Now, dads, can you feel the weight of our responsibility? We can't leave everything to our wives to handle. That's not right. We have to be involved because we are going to be the ones that's going to answer to God first if things did not go well in our family. So be ready. That's the first reason. Secondly, the mothers are not excluded. Because mothers can also provoke the children, can't they? And so it's very clear that what Paul is doing here is he's not excluding the mothers, but he wants us to realize that the fathers have a leading responsibility. Now, there's a second thing that might seem to be missing in this instruction. It seems to only focus on what parents shouldn't do. Don't provoke your kids. What about the positive side of parenting? Should they not do that? Now, again, in the parallel passage in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, we get the positive counterpart. Let me read it to you. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. The parenting task includes instructing, correcting, and training children to please the Lord in their character and their conduct. But this is implied in the instruction towards the children in verse 20. By the way, parents, can we expect our children to obey us when we expect things from them or ask them to believe things that doesn't please God? Can we expect our children to obey that? I'll leave you with that question. So the positive duties of parenting are not excluded. It's just that the focus here is on the thing that we should avoid in order to undermine all of our positive parenting efforts. It's like ensuring that we don't dig a hole under the house while we try to raise the house up from the ground. Or like making sure that our shoes are clean when we vacuum the carpet. So what's the thing that parents, especially dads, should avoid when relating to their children? Provocation. Colossians chapter 3 verse 21 commands parents, do not provoke your children. What does it mean to provoke children? It means to frustrate and irritate them intensely and repeatedly through harsh and unfair treatment. Let's look at a few examples. Inconsistency. When parents say one thing and do another, or when dad has different rules and different methods of discipline than mom, or when some kids have certain rules and other kids have other rules. Some kids are the favorites and others always seem to be in trouble. This can be very provoking to kids. Secondly, when the parents are too angry, they are always fused. The eyebrows are pulled down, the nostrils flare up, the faces are red, they speak faster and louder. The kids can tell that you're angry. And they can feel the heat and the intensity of your displeasure towards them. If they feel this too often, it will affect them negatively. Thirdly, when we're too strict. When our rules are too overbearing and too many. When we pounce on the kids whenever they make a mistake or they do not perform to our liking. There's no mercy, no breathing space. They must hear of every offense and every fault. This will exasperate them. When we are too severe, when our punishment is out of proportion with the offense, like unreasonable spanking of kids that leave them with bruises and injuries, that, by the way, as you may know, is illegal. You can go to prison for that stuff. But it can also be non-physical, like ignoring the kids, neglecting them, withholding love and affection from them. You know, when a child has done something wrong, one of the most important things that a child needs to know is that mom and dad still loves me. Nagging. When once we've made our point, we just go on and on and on, going over the top with our scolding, constantly reminding our kids of their shortcomings, even calling them names. We could provoke our kids in these ways and other ways. Now, the thing with this kind of treatment is not even adults who are emotionally stable and robust can put up with this. But when we have a child who cannot defend himself or herself or can't avoid the situation, we're talking damage. Or the child will become inflamed, embittered. It's like rubbing the skin until there's a bruise and continue to rub the skin until there's an injury. And then there will ultimately be a scar. This breeds resentfulness and rebellion. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 21, Paul has a particular negative effect in mind that can happen when children are being provoked through harsh and unfair treatment. What is that? Is to become discouraged. To become discouraged is to become dispirited. It's to lose heart. It's to give up. It's to give up trying to do the right thing to please mom and dad. Even giving up on trying to please God. Now, the big motivation in Colossians chapter 3, verse 20 for children to obey their parents was, again, parents, obey your children in the Lord because this pleases him. How does a child feel when he or she is discouraged? It feels as if their every effort falls short. Nothing is good enough. They can never seem to please mom or dad. This is a bad place to be. And it's exactly where Satan wants people. He wants people there because then he can convince them. that a rebellious, a lawless, and a careless life is better. Which, of course, it isn't. Again, let's be practical. Parents, how can we avoid provoking our children to the point of discouragement or disheartening them? Again, we'll have three suggestions. So, firstly, we've already looked at five ways to discourage kids, to provoke them through inconsistency, excessive anger, strictness, punishment, or admonishment. Parent, if you've been guilty of this, do you know the first thing you need to do? Repent. And then, after you've done business with God, you need to go to your child or your children and you need to go and ask them forgiveness. How can you expect your children to ask for forgiveness if you can't do it? Secondly, build a loving relationship with each of your children. One of the amazing things about our children is that God has made them each one to be very unique, hasn't He? They have unique personalities, interests, strengths, and struggles. Let's come to know and understand and appreciate the kids that God has entrusted to us. As a dad, one of the biggest shocks sometimes is to realize that the kids aren't like you, which probably is a blessing. But you can't seem to figure out the kind of kids that God's given you. So it's your duty to go and find out. To go and explore and get to know this human being that God has entrusted to you. Enter into their world. Have conversation with them. And be a safe place for them so that they can share their feelings with you. Dear parent, are you investing in your relationship with your children? And I mean each of your children. Thirdly, what is your ultimate parenting goal? Is it your goal to have your kids behave and be successful? Now, don't get me wrong. For our parents to conform to God's standards and to perform according to their God-given potential, these are good things. But if our parenting becomes performance-based, then our goal for our kids is flawed. Why? It's external. We are missing the inner person. Is the greatest need for our kids, is it not to truly know Christ? And to be transformed from within by His grace? Is it not for our kids to have hearts that are circumcised by Christ and have lives in union with Him? What good is it if our kids have all the things in the world but their souls are lost? That is why our ultimate goal for parenting should be to lead our kids to Christ so that they can receive Him and they can walk with Him. How do we do this? We can't delegate this to anybody else. Dad, Mom, you need to show your child who Christ is. That is your highest calling. We show them who Christ is by teaching them Scripture. But hear this, by showing them Christ-likeness. Our kids need to see that when they've done something wrong, when they don't live up, they need to see us being dressed in Christ-likeness. See how beautiful this is. The compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, forbearance, and forgiveness, and above all, the love of Christ. Parents, when we consistently show our children Christ, we will not crush them with our worldly expectations to conform and perform. We will love them unconditionally. And you know what? We will never provoke them or discourage them when we do that. So, three ways in which parents can avoid provoking their kids is to repent for where you have provoked them. Get to know your child and love them for who they are. And finally, show them Christ. This is our highest calling in our parenting towards our kids. In closing, children, obey your parents. Parents, do not provoke your children. It seems simple, doesn't it? But if we're honest with ourselves, we've not done this perfectly. We need help. Kids, you need help with this. Parents, we need help with this. We need our Savior's help. And that is why when we started off in Colossians, Paul started and he prayed for the Colossians that they may be strengthened with all the power according to the glorious might of the Lord. And regardless of how you may have succeeded or you may have failed in your parenting, know this, that if you are in Christ, He loves you unconditionally. And it's because He loves you that you can be the child you need to be and you can be the parent that He calls you to be. Let's pray. Our Father, we bow before You in humility and we thank You for the richness and the wisdom of Your word. And Father, we thank You that You give us such a high calling as kids to learn how to honor and how to obey so that ultimately, Lord, as kids we can honor and obey You, Lord. And as parents, how to bring our kids up to show them Christ first and foremost. Father, we pray that You will enable each one of us. Help us to confess where we've done wrong, but not to become hopeless. But Father, to see the grace of Christ that's there for each one of us. And to reach out and to hold on. And Father, bless our relationships in our church between parent and child. And even for parents who are adults already, Father, help us to obey, to honor our parents. And Father, we pray that You will bless our relationships in our church so that we could in return honor Your great name. In Jesus we pray all this. Amen.